y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Christian Girls Pop. We are continuing with our Sunday School Stories theme for the entire year of 2023. Very excited. I hope that y'all have enjoyed the stories and testimonies, experiences, miracles, all the things that you've heard shared. It's been a great season so far, and I'm excited to keep it going this week. Once again, I always say I'm excited because I always am. We always got some amazing speakers for y'all, and this week is no different. So for this Sunday School Stories week, we have Miss Megan Holmes. You may actually know her if you have heard of She Lives Purposefully Ministry, the podcast. It's an amazing ministry that she has, and let me tell y'all a little bit about her. So she is the founder of the Christian Living Resource, and her podcast is in the top 50 religion and spirituality category. Like I said, the ministry is called She Lives Purposefully, and she's a wife, she's a daughter, she's a sister, and a ministry leader. She's learned firsthand that God can bring purpose out of pain and that He has a purpose for everyone and every single season. Her heart is to encourage and equip women in their walk with Christ and help them live each day as God has called them to, purposefully. And now you know a little bit about the behind the scenes story of her ministry titled She Lives Purposefully. I'm excited for y'all to hear from Megan as we discuss the story of Peter walking on the water with Jesus. Megan, welcome, girl.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. It is such a joy and an honor to be here. And can I just say, your voice is so perfect. Like just you talking, I was like, oh my goodness, I could listen to her all day, every day.
That's fun. Thank you. I hope other people feel the same. They're not like, oh my gosh, here goes Steph talking again. Thanks. I'm excited for this week's episode. So like I said, for y'all, we're going to be talking about Peter walking on the water with Jesus. So with this story, it's in the New Testament. And as you may know, some of the stories in the New Testament, they kind of repeat themselves. This is not saying that the events repeat themselves, but you can find them in several different books in the New Testament. The reason behind that is a lot of the scriptures are in the first four books of the Bible. A lot of the famous Sunday school stories that we're going to be going through are in the first four books of the Bible, which are called the Gospels. And so what that is, the easiest way to explain it is if four people watch the same exact event happen and they write down their own account of what they saw. So if four people were to see a house on fire, they would all have something slightly different that they would be able to say about what they saw. Similar things here in the scriptures with the Gospels. And so the Gospels, they also are known as a synoptic gospel. So that just means they all kind of blend together a little bit. And so with this story, Peter walking on water, you can find it in three out of the four Gospels. You can find it in Matthew, Mark, and in John. So I just decided to read from the account written in Matthew. So if you would like to read along, we are going to be in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And so since it's a little bit of just a little passage of scripture, I'm going to go ahead and read it for us, and then we'll get into the discussion. Once again, that's Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples, this is referring to Jesus, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So once again, that was Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And this is the account of Peter walking on the water with Jesus. So Megan, I want to turn it over to you. So you chose this story to talk about on the podcast. Why this story? What stuck out to you?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, this story, Peter walking on water, truly like single-handedly changed my life as the Lord spoke to me through it multiple years ago. I think it brings like a bunch of different valuable lessons that we can dive into. Three specifically that I always take from it when I'm reading it. And I feel like, you know, Sunday school stories are so funny because we learn about them as young kids and maybe we write them off like, oh, we know that. But then we go back to them later in life and they are like this story for me, like life-changing and so powerful. But I read this story my first year of college, and I was going through some real faith doubts for years, like all throughout high school. I think even through junior high, I was really struggling with my faith and just knowing if what I believed was true. And, you know, even like if it was true, like, was I believing it correctly? Am I really safe? Like every single doubt possibly on earth, like whether it's based on, you know, I don't know what the Bible says, creation, like history of the Bible, everything. I had all of those doubts throughout all of these years. And I felt like I just was really stuck in those and I was not able to get out of that place where I was doubting. So anyway, one day I was in Bible college and I read this passage in my devos. And I just remember reading that it said, you know, Peter cries out, Lord, save me. Yeah. And it says, Jesus immediately reached out his hand to save. And I remember being so bitter, honestly, because I was like, you, like, I have cried out to you for years and you have not immediately reached out your hand to save me. So I remember just being upset and just keeping that in my mind. I closed my Bible and I was in Bible college. So later that night we had chapel. And, you know, this is something that I just began to wrestle with all day then. And I think that was the Lord, like keeping that on my heart and my mind. And for the first time we sang, and I had ever heard the song during worship, I am set free by all sons and daughters. And the one line goes, you are the hand that reaches out to save. I am set free. And in that moment, it really hit me. It connected me with this passage. And I think it just made me realize the freedom that I already do have in Christ, where the Lord is like, you know, I am reaching out my hand to save you. I have been like, you're already set free from this. Does that mean we don't struggle? No, like absolutely not. But the Lord has already reached out his hand to save me with what he did on the cross, rising from the dead. And so it was really that moment of God speaking to me through this worship and through this passage that he's already freed me. And I can just grab his hand that is reached out and I can walk in that. And then I have two we can talk about later, but another component to that whole story, or we could talk about it now too.
Wait. Well, I want us to talk about the first one first, because that is so good. Like, man, that's so good. And it's funny because when I read this passage, that's the same verse that sticks out to me too. I think a lot of people, the more common part that is preached on is, you know, Peter looking down and, you know, when we take our eyes off Jesus, like, yes, sure, those things are true too. But I feel like a lot of us have heard that, but that next part is like, man, like Jesus immediately reached out. And that can be, just like you said, hard to grapple with at times because of the time that's involved with it, because we see it immediately for Peter, yet it doesn't feel immediate for us in certain situations. And sometimes it's hard to reconcile that, right? Because we're supposed to look at ourselves and, you know, kind of like apply ourselves within these scriptures and see how this relates to our life. And then I can see someone reading this and being like, well, where's my immediately, you know, like, where is that for me? What does that look like for me? But I love that you shared that about just really understanding that he is already there with us. Like whether or not we feel him, whether or not we literally feel his hand reaching out to grab us, it's knowing that he is truly with us in that storm. And that alone can give us so much peace, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I really think it it has not only in that situation, but even in just different maybe anxieties or fears that I honestly even have now. And to know that the Lord is with me, like even if, and I can block that out, you know, I can choose to be a Peter who doesn't grab the Lord's hand, but the Lord is reaching out his hand. And that is a truth that I really can cling to. And I think reminding ourselves of that and seeing that and taking the time, even in those moments of fear of, you know, looking at the storm around us, and recognizing like the Lord is with me right now is so powerful. And I think can really too, like that is when we decide to grab his hand back, I think sometimes that is when we really start to feel that help, versus if we're, you know, ignoring it and just allowing ourselves to flounder and choosing not to actually call out to him like Peter did.
That is so good, because you're acknowledging that there's a choice that has to be made, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think a lot of times we put it all on God, and yes, we can, you know, cast our cares upon him. We can do all of that.
Yeah.
But there is action that has to be involved on our part as well. Like, I always tell people, anytime that you look in scripture and you see a miracle take place, there was always an action before you saw the miracle. God used Moses to part the Red Sea. Moses had to stretch out his staff before the seas opened. Like, there's always something that we have to do. There's always an action that we must make in order to see that miracle. And the same thing goes for just experiencing Christ sometimes. Like, he is there, he's waiting on us, but we have to be the ones to say yes. We have to be the ones to invite him in. We have to be the ones to surrender. There's action required on our part. And just like you said, we have the choice, because worry can kick in, doubt, stress, anxiety, fear, all the things, right? They can be used by an enemy to attack us, but then we have the choice to say, what do I believe about this situation? Is God really here with me? Is Christ really like what his word says? Like, is he ever present? Like, are these things true about him? And if I believe his word, then I must believe that it applies to this situation too.
Yeah, I think that's so huge in that it's not necessarily just asking for his help, which is great and important. And, you know, we see Peter does that here. And I felt frustrated in reading it that for, not the first time, but in that situation, in that story I told, because I had done that. I had, you know, asked and asked and asked. But like you're talking about, I think it becomes then this shift to like, all right, what do I believe about the Lord? Do I believe that he actually wants to help? Do I believe that he is here like he promises to be? And I think when we accept reality in that way, it completely shifts everything, and recognizing like, okay, he is here with me. I can walk in freedom. I can walk in his strength and rest in him, versus maybe crying out and asking, but not actually expecting the Lord to show up, which I think maybe was a reality for me beforehand. You know, it was a while ago, so I don't remember, but I do remember that big shift of realizing like, I have to accept that like the Lord is who he says he is. And if he said he freed me, I am set free, you know, and I can walk in that.
That is good. Asking, but also expecting, because sometimes we can just almost like go through the motions in prayer, yeah. or just pray the prayer that we've heard our grandma pray, or just like we know it's the thing to say, but not even believing that he will actually come through on his word, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, if that's the issue, then we must go back a couple steps and see where the doubt really lies. Is it just in like you doubting him in this situation, or do you doubt that he's actually a provider in general? Like, yeah. is it just this sickness, or do you doubt that he's a healer overall? And so it's kind of like going back a couple steps, retracing back to the initial root of the doubt and addressing it there. You know, because that's what God, that's what Jesus says when he's rescuing Peter. He's like, you had so much doubt. Like, why? Like,
yeah.
I'm right here, you know, and it's not saying it in a demeaning way or condescending way, but he's like, I'm literally here. Why do you doubt? You know? Yeah. And it's like, if Peter doubted while Christ was literally standing in front of him, like, obviously we can naturally doubt as well. So it's not saying that, oh my gosh, like, you're just a weirdo. Like, doubt isn't unfortunately normal, but
yeah,
it's not normal in the sense of just deal with that and have that the whole, your whole life. Doubt is natural, but when you begin to operate in the supernatural, you get into his word. And that's when you believe what his word says. I know for me, I have like different verses that are my go-to verses. Like, If I'm this, boom, that's my verse. If I'm struggling over here, boom, that's my verse to remind myself. And one of mine is Deuteronomy 31:6, reminding me that he will never leave me or forsake me. That's a promise that God has given me. And I have to believe that even if my situation looks a little crazy, like I trust that he's still in it, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think too, going back to when you were saying how Jesus, you know, actually asks him then, like we go back to it and it's like, all right, this core issue here is that maybe we're doubting who God is. And here we see Peter, you know, doubting, and Jesus says like, oh, you have little faith. Why do you doubt? And I was just listening to this podcast actually, and I loved the way that they talked about it because they really emphasize like, the Lord isn't necessarily like, you know, Peter, like yelling at Peter or anything, but it's just this very affectionate, like, you know, like you were portraying it, like, I am right here. Like, why are you doubting? And I think too, maybe if the Lord was asking us, you know, probably we would look at the storms in our own lives and be like, well, obviously this, like, this is why I'm freaking out. This is why I have anxiety. This is why I'm doubting. But Jesus, who is in control of like the wind and the waves, is saying like, I see that too, but like, I am with you. And I know that you don't have to doubt. You don't have to fear regardless, despite the storm and in the storm, like you can still trust me. And I just think, you know, I guess that kind of ties into that different aspect of like why the Lord says to him, like, why do you doubt even in a crazy storm where he's literally drowning, you know, and just how powerful God is in that aspect of like, okay, like I can trust him even when I am drowning. And two, just thinking about like, you know, and we brought this up briefly earlier, but like Peter didn't start actually drowning or like struggling in that until he started to doubt the Lord in the situation. So it wasn't even the situation necessarily that caused him to start drowning, because he was succeeding in walking on water because he was like keeping his eyes on the Lord. But when he started to doubt God, that's when everything kind of started to feel like, you know, it was coming over him. And so I really think shifting our perspective back to the Lord and who he is helps us not, you know, when we are drowning, and helps us to recognize too, like the Lord has already, like we talked about, but reached out his hand to save. It's never him who is lacking, you know? And I think that's always an encouragement to me too, to know like the Lord is always open heart, open armed, willing, like running towards me, reaching out his hand to save. Yeah.
That is so good. Like he's not the one, basically, like he's not the one that's the problem. Like we can be the ones, you know, that have that issue. And there was one thing that you said that just really stuck out to me, in the perspective, sorry, in the perspective of God, you said like, I see that too. And that's so good. Like, you know, sometimes we're trying to like explain our situation to him as if he doesn't see it. And he's going to be like surprised, like, what, this is what you're going through?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, yes, but I'm still asking the question, like, why do you doubt, right? Like if money is the issue and you're like, but look at all these bills. And he's like, yes, but like, why are you worried? Like, you know, and that then we have to ask ourselves, yeah, why am I worried? You know, like, yes, I see the situation, but according to the God who owns it all, according to the God who is the master healer, right? The good shepherd, all these things, according to who I believe that I serve, why am I doubting?
Yeah.
Why am I doubting? And I think one thing that we have to address with that is if we've allowed situations, earthly situations, or even relationships that we've had with people that maybe haven't been the best, if we've allowed that to affect how we view God. I know people that have not had the best relationship with their fathers, their earthly fathers, you know, and then you go to church and everyone's like, God's your father. And it's like, well, they have to reconcile like what that looks like, because all they have is this poor example, but now they're saying like, God's the best father ever. And so sometimes that doubt that they had with their earthly father can bleed into how they view God, how they believe in him. And that can go for, you know, a myriad of situations, but it's just, I think that's something that we have to address within ourselves. Wherever there's doubt, there's a reason for it. And so why do I not believe this about God? Why am I struggling to believe this certain part? Is it because I had a bad childhood or a rough time, or because I had, you know, like a hard relationship with my parents, or maybe I went through trauma or abuse? What is the thing that's causing me to doubt that he is good, that he is holy, that he's righteous? Whatever it is, the thing that you're doubting, I think that has to be addressed too.
I absolutely agree. I think it's so important to dive into the why, like why is that, like you said, doubt there, and to why can I release that? You know, like, why is it actually possible? Like, you know, not even just like, what are things about God that I don't believe, but what, and you've talked about this earlier too, like, what are things that he says about himself that I need to learn or relearn, write down, dwell on, remind myself of every single day? And I think what's huge about this process too, in this process of uncovering what internally is causing me to not trust the Lord, and then two, like what the Lord actually says about himself that I can trust, I think that process is not just like a one and done deal ever. You know, I think there's things that, you know, times that really change our lives, like the story changed the trajectory of like my perception of God and my life and all of that. But it's always a truth that I have to be reminding myself of, because new anxieties arise, new storms come. And so I think, you know, one thing that I love to do is set reminders on my phone of truths instead of like things that, you know, I need to do, like always Bible verses or truths of the Lord, because I have found, especially when storms of life feel really rocky, my anxiety can really kind of creep in and be very frequent throughout the day. Even if I pray, 5 minutes later, I'm like, you know, all riled up again. And so I've had like, you know, reminders on my phone set for every 30 minutes in some seasons with like a new truth of the Lord. And it kind of reminds you of those things and floods you with those things. So as you're grappling with like, why don't I trust the Lord? And that's something that I have to work through, maybe with somebody who is more equipped than me, you know, to be able to work through those things, but to also be constantly flooding yourself with truth as well, I think is so important too. Yeah.
I love that. It's a very practical thing, right? Because like we can sit here and talk about doubt all day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then someone's like, okay, but like, how do I get over it? But I love that very practical, very simple, very easy thing to do. We all have our phones. We may or may not use the reminders on our phone, but that's a great way to do that. Like you said, instead of just all the things that you got to do that day, remind yourself of the truth. That is so good. Yeah. Another thing that I was going to bring up, another practical thing, as far as in this healing process of figuring out where the doubt is and why it's there and uprooting that, is to make a list of things, write down the things that you wholeheartedly have no issue with believing about God. Like that my God is real, right? Like my God is holy. Mm-hmm. Whatever the thing is that you have no doubt, it can come out of your mouth super easy. You have no problem defending it. Like, yes, I believe this. And then on the other side of the page, similar to like a pros and cons kind of thing, but I want you to write down all the things that you do believe, and then write down on the other side areas that you struggle with believing, things that you struggle with believing about God, whether you struggle with believing that he's love, that he's good, that he's a provider, healer, whatever it is. And then I want you to write down why. So don't just write down the things and just the fact that you doubt, but take time to figure out why. If you don't have an answer for that right away, take some time, pray on it. The Lord will reveal that area of why you struggle with that doubt. It may be just things that have happened in life, but take time to figure out why. And then once you're at that step, then you can move forward with really seeking scripture, getting that truth in there to replace each of those doubts. But the first step is always going to be why. I don't think you can really move past that, because you can like, you know, quote enough scripture and say enough Bible verses, but until you believe it, there's still going to be a gap.
Yes. No, I love that so much. It's something I'm like, oh, maybe I'm going to dive into that, because I think there are still, and I think, you know, as things arise, maybe there become new doubts that you have, or new doubts that are revealed in your heart that you're like, oh, I thought I believed this, but now that it's put to the test, like, you know, I don't know if I do. So yeah, I think that's such a great tip. I'm actually, I'm in counseling right now, and my counselor recommended something very similar to what you suggested, and kind of just writing down almost this dialogue with the Lord of like, first writing down, like, you know, like, this is what I'm feeling right now. This is why I'm feeling, you know, whatever that doubt or fear or anxiety is. And then writing down like what you think the Lord might say to you, maybe a promise that you have, you know, he has for you. Like, I will, you know, never leave you, always going to defend you, I go before you, things like that. And then what is your response to that realistically? Like, you know, and kind of that same idea of like, why do I either believe that or not believe that, you know? But I love that idea of like, here are the things that I absolutely know to be true and I agree with and I believe, and here are promises of God or attributes of God that I'm really struggling with and why. That's so good. So good.
Yeah. I always want to encourage people that, like, you could be real with God, you know? Like,
Yes.
I feel like sometimes we try to, like, dress it up and come up all clean and neat with a bow, but we're like a hot mess inside. Like, girl, he can see the hot mess. Like,
Yeah.
don't worry about it. Like, just show up. He will help you. But it's acknowledging that, like, hey, I don't have it all together. God, I would love to say that I'm just the best Christian on the earth, but I know I'm not. And that's not even a real thing. But I'm struggling with this. And we all are. We all have different things that we have walked through that we have, like, oof, praying for that one may be a little harder than I would think, you know? And so it's a matter of really bringing those things before God, because we can cast all our cares, our anxieties, all of that, including our mess, our baggage, all of it. We can cast it all on him and allow him to be a part of that healing. And I love that you mentioned counseling. I know that you're a big advocate for it. I am as well. And maybe someone is really struggling with this area. Counseling would be a great way to be able to talk that mm-hmm. out as well. So yeah, that's some great stuff. You also mentioned that you had a couple other reasons of why you chose that story. I think you said like you had two more. Feel free to share.
Yeah. The one, I think we've kind of touched on them too, but definitely, you know, the first was the immediately reached out his hand to save. I think another one is the classic that he, you know, Peter is looking at the storm before he starts to sink. And I think I just really resonate with that because I am so quick to look at the storm around me. And that's something I'm working through right now, is just being more active in how quickly I turn to God instead of dwelling on everything that's going wrong. But to instead be like, all right, Lord, like, what do you have for me in this? And that's a huge aspect of She Lives Purposefully too, is like purpose in pain, purpose in the storm. And the Lord has that for you. So how quickly I turn to the Lord is so important in that. And so just recognizing, even, you know, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus turned to the storm with Jesus right in front of him. So there is all of the grace in that, but I think that's so important. And then, you know, the other thing too, that we talked about is just like Jesus asking, why did you doubt, and recognizing, okay, this is rooted in a doubt, and having to really uncover that, like we talked about, and recognizing too that despite whatever is happening, Jesus was in the storm with Peter, which is a whole other thing too. Like the fact that he's in the storm with you is just huge. But he's in the storm, and he is basically implying there is no reason to fear. There's no reason to doubt. There's no reason to lose trust. So yeah, I feel like those are the big three things from this passage that I absolutely love. And just knowing that the Lord is in the storm with you is so huge, and that he can free you from sin and struggles and things that you're feeling and anxieties. And again, that's not to say any type of like prosperity, like, oh, you know, it'll be gone in a second, like you just don't have enough faith, any kind of thing like that. But the reality is that he can free us from those things, and we have to be like walking with him to, you know, be claiming that, or not claiming it, but to really like be able to accept that. We have to be grabbing his hand back. And again, it's not to say that I don't struggle with anxiety or whatever it is. I still do. And it's something that I'm constantly having to bring to the Lord. But in bringing to the Lord and bringing it to the Lord is the only way that I am able to kind of be free of that and release that and cast my cares in that space.
Yeah, for sure. And what you said is, it goes along with the main verse that sticked out to me. Well, it's kind of several verses, but I think whenever I would hear the story, I always imagine that by the time Christ got on the scene, that like the winds ended, like the storm ended, because it's like, yeah, that just makes sense, right? He shows up and like everything just goes quiet, you know, because there's other times when he's gotten up off the boat or gotten up out of his nap, you know, stood on the boat and was like, waters, stop, chill.
Yeah.
Be still. And everyone was like, oh, wow, cool. Okay. And so it just kind of makes sense in our heads, right? Like when Jesus shows up, like everything changes. And we hear that, right? Like Jesus changes everything. And these things are absolutely true. But sometimes when we hear that, we perceive it to be like different than it actually is. We just assume that now our life is supposed to be perfect because we're a Christian, or this storm should not be this bad because I am a Christian and I am serving at church and whatever the case is. And so when I read this scripture, I automatically thought the winds ceased, everything stopped. And so by the time Peter walked on water, I think just from growing up, I always imagined that Peter was walking on smooth waters, just like, hey. And so then I like really took time to read it, and I was like, wait, the water, like the winds don't cease until this whole thing is over. Like, so the whole time Jesus was walking on this rocky waves, Peter was also walking on these rocky waves. And it was just a really cool revelation for me, because it helped me to really understand that, one, like, life is not going to be just peaches and roses just because you're a Christian now. But also it's that God expects us, like, to do hard things sometimes, right? Like when Peter, like when he commanded Peter to come out of the boat, like nothing had changed. The storms were still going crazy. And he's like, yeah, come on out, bud. And then Peter does, you know, his faith is at like 10 out of 10. He's ready. You know, things get a little rough, and that's when he looks down and things go downhill. But it's just the element of, like, Christ doesn't always expect everything to be perfect and everything to go right in order for us to step out on faith, in order for us to do things that he's calling us to, because he could have said, oh, you want to come out on a boat? Wait, let me make everything peaceful. He could have made the waters into a stone and he could have just walked out. I don't know. He could have done anything, right? But he didn't. He didn't choose to do any of that. Yet he was still there, just like you said. Yet he was so present in that moment. He's an ever-present help. And so for us, I think it's important for us, as we're doing things that God has called us to do, whether it's ministry, motherhood, marriage, whatever it is, it's important for us to really understand that in the hard thing, Christ is still with us. Like, just because it's hard doesn't mean that he is somehow absent. Yeah. Just because it doesn't look like we thought it should doesn't mean that all of a sudden, like, we need to reevaluate everything and, like, oh my, I must have missed it. Like, this, it shouldn't be this hard. But really trusting, like, okay, in this, this is what God has called me to do. This is hard, yet he's still with me. And so I can go with that and be confident in my decision of walking with Christ.
Yeah, no, I think that's so good. And I think we really need to, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but be able to learn and understand and, like, fully take in the fact that just because we are walking with Christ does not mean that there will not be storms, like you're saying. And I think that's so important, because I think there was a season in my life where it was like the worst situation that had ever happened in our family. And before that time, I think I had this, even though I would never say it out loud as something I actually believed, and I don't think I really even thought I believed it, I had this kind of subconscious belief that the Lord was good because he was good to me, because my life was good. That's why, like, that's proof that he's good, almost. And not to say, you know, all blessings are from the Lord and that's so great, but, like, then when the storm came and things got really rocky, it really shook my belief of, like, is God good? And I think so, to be able to know, like, storms will come, but the Lord is with you in that. And just because you're walking with the Lord doesn't mean that everything is going to be really peaceable and great, but, like, the Lord is with you in the storm and he's reaching out his hand in the storm. And I think sometimes too, like, you know, all of these storms and this pain, like, has such a purpose. And a big part of that is to be able to, and 2 Corinthians 1 talks about this too, to rely on Christ instead of ourselves. And that's a huge aspect of just our lives in general, to recognize more and more and more, like, how much we need the Lord and to just depend on him all the more. And here we see, you know, Peter totally recognizing that, like, he cannot walk on water, period, by himself, or in a storm by himself. And I think the same is true for us. Like, we can't confidently and perfectly, you know, walk through any storm alone. And not to say that even in Christ that we're going to do any, you know, do it perfectly. We're still human, but we will be able to walk through storms because he is with us. And he may not get rid of the storm. That's just a reality of life, but he's always going to be present in it with us. And So I love that you were saying that. I think that's so important to know and really sit with, because I think if we enter any type of storm or suffering with the wrong perception of who the Lord is, it can really start to shake these things up. And we might have to, like I did, have to relearn things like, oh, God is good, even if life isn't good, you know?
Yeah, I love that. And that's when it comes to, like, the truth of God, like, what is that? How does that align with what I know, what I've seen? Whether that's a misconception, whether that's actually truth, but it does come down to, like, okay, this is truth. I believe this is truth. How does this reconcile with what I'm going through right now? And I think that's a really good point that you brought up, because, yeah, when life is, you know, like, I love when people, you know, like, have this amazing breakthrough in their life or have some great highlight, and they're like, man, God is faithful. And I'm like, oh, yes, he is. Absolutely. 100%. I'm sure there's a backstory. I'm sure you've seen the Lord's faithfulness. But I want us to be able to also say that in the worst of times.
Yeah.
And not that I'm wishing the worst of times on anyone, but the worst of times come to all of us. Life be life in out here. Like, we're gonna go through some stuff, y'all. But in that, it's like, it's so easy for us to say, God is good. God has blessed me. God is faithful when we're on the mountaintops. But when we plummet down to the valleys quicker than we can even think of that we would get there, like, what is our response? And you're right. Like, it goes back to like where we're rooting our faith in. Are we rooting it in our blessings? Are we rooting it in our financial security? Are we rooting it in just a good home life and, you know, like no issues? Or are we rooting it in who we believe him to be, regardless of what we're experiencing? And I love that. And so it's, I think that's why, you know, like the Bible talks about how like it's so hard for like the rich man to get into heaven. Because so many times, like, you know, your security is in your own stuff. Like, you're good, you're good, you're good. Like, why do I even need God, you know? But it's like, if you were to root your faith in him and not in just financial security, how he can provide, whatever, you'd be able to say, okay, yes, my money is great, but my faith is still rooted in him because of who I know him to be, aside from anything else in this world. So yeah, I love that point for sure.
No, I love that. And I think too, this is something, another thing talking about in counseling. But I think a big part of where anxiety and fear and doubt can come from is when we really do root our hope in those things, our confidence, our security in those things, in a calm ocean, you know, in, you know, whatever it may be, in our money, in our job, in whatever, family life, things that are good things, you know, they're not bad things, but if our full security is in those things, and we might then either see those things shaken up, or we just are worrying that they will be shaken up, then our security is totally shaken. So we need to be able to be secure in the one thing that actually is sound and stable and tried and true and will never falter, it will never fail us. And that is Christ, so that even when one thing, or if all the things start to shake and there's a storm in every area of our life, even then, you know, we still have that security and stability and we can walk in a storm instead of drown in it, you know?
Yeah. And I love that you said, you talked about a calm ocean, and the imagery that I kind of got from that, it's kind of like if our faith is just in like a very shallow canoe or kayak on a calm ocean, a calm lake. And it's just like, everything's great, everything's fine. But as soon as the waves come, like, it's so shallow that, you know, like your faith, imagine it just like a rock that's in the boat. Like, as soon as the waves come, boom, like your rock literally flips out the boat. Like, it flips out of the canoe. And then it's like, oh gosh, where's my faith? Where's God? I'm all over the place. It's because it wasn't rooted enough. And, you know, it's like, that's why you see like those older people that have been walking with Jesus for years. Like, you see how rooted, how confident they are in God, because they've seen him in the highs, they've seen him in the lows, they've seen him when things are going great, and they've seen him in death and tragedy and so much else. And so that's when you're like, man, they are rooted. Like, their faith is not going anywhere because they've seen him and they know who he truly is, and not just just, you know, like a genie in a bottle kind of thing. Like, they know who he really is. And so, yeah, absolutely. Rooted faith is key. It will help you to uproot all the other things that are there, the doubt, the anxiety, the fear. And it reminds me of that, the worship song Firm Foundation by Cody Carnes. And just like, man, he talks about that in the Bible. I believe that's in Matthew 7 when it talks about the house that's built either on the rock or on the sand. And we have that choice to make. That's a imagery, that symbolism of what our faith is rooted in. Are we rooting it in Christ as a solid rock? Or are we just going to try to root it in just when things are going good? And then as soon as the winds and waves come, boom, there goes our house. So yeah, if y'all didn't take anything else from this whole podcast, make sure you are rooted in Jesus. Okay. Don't be out here trying to root it in yourself, because you will fail. Everyone else around you will fail, no matter how great of a husband and how great of a boss and how great of a job you have. All those things will fail you to some capacity. The only thing that will ever truly remain is Christ. So I love that. I love that. We're going to be wrapping things up. Megan, any final words, anyone listening that's in a situation where they know hey, I'm in a storm right now, and I'm trying to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm trying to reach out my hand, do my part. What would be some last minute advice that you would give them?
Yeah, I really would go back to what we were talking about before, just because I think it really was helpful for me, especially if you're already in that space where you are trying to like cling to him and reach out to him, and you know that that's where your security is going to be, is to write down those promises and attributes of God. I think that is such a huge factor to remind ourselves of those things that are true and pure and trustworthy and good, you know? So that's a big recommendation I would have. And just an encouragement is to really know, remind yourself of this too, but he is in the storm with you. And even just going back to like Exodus, he goes before you, he's all around you, he's watching your back, like he is with you. And does that mean there won't be a storm? No, but it does mean that he will never forsake you, whether you're on the mountaintop, whether you're in the valley of the shadow of death, like he is your good shepherd. All of these different like parts of the Bible coming together, but like he is a good shepherd, and good shepherds do not leave their sheep. And in him, like you're going to be able to walk through any storm. Trust him. And two, like just knowing, you know, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows what your days are going to look like. If something is really rocking you today or yesterday or whenever, know that he already saw it coming, and he already knows like how you're going to walk out of this valley too. But yeah, write down all of those promises and characteristics, pray on those things. And yeah, just really practically seek him daily. We really can't do life without him. And I think recognizing that and actually going to him and being really consistent in that is really important too.
Absolutely. Love that. Make sure y'all apply these things. Don't just listen and go on to the next thing and keep living in doubt. Make sure you take time to apply these things to your life, because we absolutely just want the best for you. We want you to be rooted in Christ. We want to see you thriving and living in your purpose. And so, speaking of purpose, tell the people a little bit about She Lives Purposefully, what it's about, and what you do as a ministry.
Yeah, so She Lives Purposefully, thank you, is a it's a ministry, it's a podcast. We have free resources, you know, like Bible study guides and things like that. We also have actual Bible studies, downloadable digital Bible studies with prints and notes and prayers and all the things on other, you know, classic Bible stories like Esther, Jonah, Ruth, things like that. And then too, like I mentioned, the She Lives Purposefully podcast, which is just my baby. It is the sweetest space. And I'm so encouraged creating these episodes. I am so thankful that other women feel encouraged and equipped in that space too. And I would be so stoked if you came and hung out, whether it's on Instagram, on the podcast, wherever it is. Yeah, it would be such a joy to have you. And I really just, all of She Lives Purposefully exists to encourage and equip you in your walk with Christ so that you can live purposefully, which I believe the biggest component of that is living in a way that Christ calls you to. So yeah, that's a little bit about She Lives Purposefully.
I love that. And for y'all that are listening, one of the parts of their mission is to encourage and equip. And I want to just focus on the equip part. Megan and I talked about this before we started recording, but I think it's so important for you to be equipped. Like we read Ephesians 6 and we know that, you know, we're in a spiritual battle, and it's so important for us to be spiritually equipped as we're going through this walk with Christ. And as we're fighting the attacks of the enemy, it's one thing to just say you're a Christian, but the enemy like does not want you to live in your purpose. He does not want you to have a deep relationship with Christ. He doesn't want you to live in abundance, right? Like all these things. And so it's important for you to be equipped. That means that you have the proper resources, the proper ammo, the proper gear, so to speak, to be able to go to war appropriately, but not even just to go to war, but just to thrive and just live a life with Christ. There's proper things that you need, appropriate things for certain situations. And Megan wants to do that through She Lives Purposely, to be able to get you in a space to where you can understand the word, understand who you are in Christ, understand who Christ is, and let all those things merge together to be able to put you in a space to where you live the life that you never, ever thought possible. So make sure y'all check that out. What are the tags, usernames, anything that they can do to find you?
Yeah, everything is pretty much She Lives Purposefully straight across, all lowercase. It's shelivespurposefully.com, She Lives Purposefully on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube, all of it. And then it's She Lives Purposefully on the podcast as well. Yeah.
Well, y'all make sure y'all check that out. We're going to be wrapping this episode up. Megan, thank you so much for everything you shared. This was such a great conversation. And I know that the people, the listeners, the watchers, they were so blessed by this. So thanks so much again.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. This was seriously such a joy. You are so wise. And this was so encouraging for me too. Thank you for having me.
This was great. Thanks for your words too. For those that are listening, after you click all the links and do all the things for She Lives Purposefully, you check out her Bible studies, her resources, all the amazing things that are there. If you haven't already, you can also follow Facebook and Instagram for Christian Girls Pop. You can find us. The username is Christian Girls Pop. And you can check us out on YouTube, Christian Girls Pop, and our website, ChristianGirlsPop.com. Also, if you haven't already, make sure you get your copy of the ebook, Scripture Made Simple. It is a Bible in a year plan, but you do not have to wait till the top of the year. Your day one starts whenever you purchase the book. You can start and you can begin to read, understand, and apply Scripture to your life. And you will just be amazed at how much you'll be able to understand when you take time to really, really, really sit down with God's word. So make sure you check out all of that information. All of the links are in the podcast notes and available for you in the comments as well. So make sure you check those out. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode. And as always, remember, Jesus already loves you so much, just as you are right now. Don't you ever forget that. Bye, y'all.